So welcome everybody to today's meditation class. And I do have to make this announcement every time. So this is the ongoing meditation class for those who've meditated many times before. Here we do a meditation for 45 minutes. So those people who have come for the introduction to meditation class, that is being held in the room to my right. One of our very well seasoned meditators, John, is going to be teaching that class. So it's important to actually have the different, the different types of meditation. If we taught at the same level for everybody, those who were beginners would get wouldn't understand what was going on, and those who were advanced would get bored out of their skulls. So because of that, we just have two classes, beginners and advanced, even though many people who say they're advanced are not that advanced, but nevertheless, here they are. So when we are meditating, we have to make sure that we are gentle with our meditation. Part of gentleness is with patience. And I often notice that there are two types of patience, especially in meditation. And the first type of patience is waiting for something to happen, which is not patience at all. All it really is your mind is looking into the future, hoping something peaceful, still, lights, whatever razzmatazz happens in meditation, that that's going to come to you. Your mind is just peering into the future, waiting for something to happen. And of course, you should all know that when a person waits for something to happen, it never happens, because they're looking in the wrong spot. However, the other type of patience is waiting in the present moment. And in fact, even the word waiting in, I could maybe change it with a little English trickery to waiting on the present moment. And waiting on the present moment, using the simile of a waiter at a restaurant, you know, you're looking at the table which you are caring for, making sure that the customers, you know, on your table, that when they finish, you know, their soup or something, you can take it away from them. I teach this to the monks, that, you know, making sure, because I'm a senior monk, this monk over here, Ramsampa, is my attendant for the weekend. So every time I've just finished a cup of tea, he can actually take it away to wash the cup. But sometimes he's taken the tea away, or tried to, before the cup was finished, which is a very, almost makes me angry, being an English monk. You should never take a cup of tea away from an English monk until he's finished drinking it. But a real waiter can actually see, look, and find the right time, because they're right there in the moment, and they're caring for their client. And that idea of a waiter actually is almost in the scriptures, the suttas. That's a simile of the cook in the Satipatthana Sutta. Always looking at the person they're cooking for, whether they like the food, they don't like the food, how much they take, how much seasoning, so that they can really be waiting on the person they cook for. And then they get tips. If you don't wait on the moment, if you don't wait on the table, you get sacked. So, waiting on a table is like you're waiting on your mind, looking after it, caring for it. And then, of course, it does actually develop by itself. When you're waiting for something to happen, then you usually miss out. You don't see things as they're happening right now. So, when you are meditating, many of you have been here a long time. You've heard all the stuff which actually happens in meditation. I sometimes do talk about stages of meditation, but that's always with a little bit of reluctance, because as soon as I mention stages of meditation, people want those stages, and they're looking out for them. They're actually waiting in the future for them to happen, which is why it never does happen. So, yes, you can talk about stages of meditation, but please don't aspire for them. Aspiring for them means you're going off into the future, you know, looking for them, trying to make them happen instead of being in the present moment. Waiting on the present moment, waiting on your mind, that is one of the keys to meditation. when you wait on that present moment, in this moment, of course, then there's no tension regarding to time. You never think, oh, how many more minutes are there left? How many more minutes are there to go? Because being a prisoner of time does put you in a jail, and that causes a lot of tension. In meditation, we try and, as much as we can, get rid of any idea of what the time is. That's one of the reasons why there is a clock in the back over there, and you know, when the sun is shining on it like now, I can't even see any of it, so I keep a little clock over here. I need that so I can ring the bell at the right time. But as for you, you're not looking at any clock over here. We made sure there's no clocks in your vision, so you don't have to worry about time. When you don't worry about time, then you're not waiting in the future. You're almost pressurized, directed, inclining towards just this moment. And of course, just really getting into this moment, number one, it takes away a lot of problems in life. All the stuff which you've had to deal with. No, today, yesterday, and in beforehand, and all the things which are going to happen in the future. My goodness, that can really weigh a person down. It can cause sleepless nights. It can cause you to get so upset and angry because you lose all your energy. All your energy, you've got nothing left to live in this moment because it's all gone. So worrying about a past which you cannot change. Or just trying to plan A. People used to do just plan A's and B's, but now they do the whole alphabet, both in English and in Latin. Plan Alpha, Plan Beta. So many times that we plan so much stuff and none of those plans actually work. When the future actually happens, you find another way to deal with it, which you never really expected. So, when we waste so much energy, you can understand why people are tired. And so we understand why we've got no energy to actually to deal with what's happening right now. So in our meditation, we try and get out of time. In other words, be in this moment. Be here. Be alive. Life not as a rerun. Life not as a forecast. Life as it happens. Right here. Right now. In the coalface of existence. Don't know why they call it a coalface. It's pretty dirty and dusty down there. It's bad for the environment. But anyway, that's what we usually say. Right now. In life as it's happening. So when you can come into this present moment, then of course there has to be only waiting on this moment, caring for it, looking after it. And again, like a waiter, you care for this moment. Attentive and caring. Making sure that your customers, which is your body and your mind, your customers are happy and content. So they don't need anything. They're not going to go and make a complaint to the manager. The service in this joint is terrible. No, you're right there looking after this moment. So in this moment, if your body needs to be moved, you move it. Be careful. You know, look at this. Remember, I remember just used to have the saying in the service industry, the customer is always right. So your customers are your body and mind. So remember, the customer's always right. If your body says, I need to cough, the customer's right. So, cough. If you need a scratch, the customer's always right. So, scratch it. If you need to adjust your legs, the customer's always right. So, move your legs. In other words, you're caring for your body. And you're caring for your mind. And it's amazing that when you care for things, that there's a relationship built between your mindfulness and what you're watching. And that relationship, because it's kindness in this moment, you tend to stick together. Which means that your mind does not wander off. The wandering mind. Why does it wander? After so many years building up Bodhinyana Monastery, I've got this beautiful cave. I love my cave. So every time I get back to my monastery, I spend as long time as I can in my cave. I don't want to wander off, because it's very comfortable and peaceful. Because I like it, I stay there a long time. same as your mind. Why would you like to wander off when you're content and happy with where you are? I always wonder why people go down south on the weekend, where I go north for the weekend. Where I live in Serpentine is south down here, so see people going in the opposite direction. I go north for the weekend to come to Nolamara. And on Sunday afternoon, everybody comes from down south coming back to Perth. And I leave Perth to go down south. I go in the opposite direction to most people in this world. And if you go in the opposite direction, you never get stuck in traffic. So, try doing things a little bit different. But the only reason I come up here, because I have to, this is my job. But the main point is that if you are really happy where you are, why go anywhere? Why do people want to go away for the weekend? You got your lovely house. You got your best bed in the world. It's your own house. Why, when people just have a fortnight's holiday, why do they go off to Bali? Why do they go off to I don't know, Broome or to Queensland? Why do you want to go to places like that? Your own home is the best place in the world. So, if your own mind is the best place in the world, you're so happy with your own mind, so content, you got to know one another so well, that as soon as you make contact in meditation, my mind usually said, "Hi, Ajahn Brahm, you're back again. Yay! Let's hang out together. We'll chill out together," which is why the mind doesn't wander off, because it cares for one another. Just like the person who goes to a restaurant and they've got a really good waiter, really care for them, they're going to come back again. And they're going to stay there a long time, simply because they're being cared for. So please, wait in the moment. Or rather, wait on the moment. Care for it, look after it. Imagine you went to a restaurant and somebody said, "Here's the menu, but I don't care what you want. You are going to have breathing in, breathing out on your menu." That's one of the meditation objects. "You're going to have you know, what I tell you to have. And you are going to have orange juice with your meal. And you are going to have strawberry ice cream afterwards." Imagine a waiter told you what you're going to eat when you go to a restaurant. What would your reaction be? Would you ever go back to that restaurant ever again? I don't think so. Unless it was like 40 Towers restaurant. I remember looking at 40 Towers when I was young. But in real restaurants, they ask you, "What do you want?" So you'd be a waiter like in a real restaurant. You ask, "Maud, what do you want today?" On the menu, we do have breath meditation, we have loving kindness meditation, we have letting go meditation. Which one do you want today? And let your mind choose. Care for it. It's called waiting on the moment, rather than waiting for something to happen in the future. Okay, that's enough. So, we're now going to do our 45-minute meditation, so please make sure all your mobile devices are turned off. Especially your mobile mind. Please put that into sleep mode. No, not sleep mode. Awareness and stillness mode. And anything which beeps, which goes ding, 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 or which plays some fancy tune, please turn it all off. So now we can start with our meditation. So close your eyes so your mind is not so disturbed by visual impingement. One less sense to be concerned about. And with the eyes closed, you'll find you become aware of your body. It is similar to going out from a lit room into the dark night. It takes a few seconds for your eyes to accommodate to the more subtle sensations, the darkness. And after a few seconds, your eyes can see again, and see the silhouettes. Very similar, as soon as you close your eyes, it takes a few seconds for you to become aware of your body, to be able to feel it. When your brain isn't dominated by visual stuff, you start to feel. And when you start to become aware of your body, especially take care of how you are sitting, the way you have your body positioned. It's called posture. And, to begin with, we feel our legs. From the top of the thighs down to the tip of the toes. How is everything down there? Again, when you focus on a small part of the body, it's actually quite large, but not the whole body, because you're focusing on a small part, you can become more sensitive. It's called establishing mindfulness. Being aware of just that part of the body, your thighs, knees, calves, ankles, feet, toes. Once you are aware, then you can find whether they are comfortable. Once you are aware of how comfortable they are, then out of kindness you can adjust your legs to make sure they're in an optimum position. Many diseases, injuries are because of poor posture. When you're working, when you're sitting, when you're at your computer, the body does give you some warning signs, but we're too busy thinking to know them. So here we're training to become aware of our body. In particular, just your legs. And that would mean that if you get your legs correct at the beginning, you will not have any problem with them during and towards the end of the meditation. They'll be comfortable. This is what posture means. The best comfort for the purpose of meditation. And then you check your bottom, as I just did. It was not comfortable for me, so I just moved it. If I didn't ask the question, how are things down there, I would not have known until it was too late and I had a pain. So how is your bottom now? Do you need to fit it? If so, please do so. This is not an endurance contest. This is learning wisdom, kindness, awareness. So watch your bottom is comfortable. Then you check your back. Always surprised at how many people do have back pains. Injuries even. Again, bad posture. Not aware of how they're holding their back when they're performing the tasks of their life. And there is no one posture which is the best for everybody. You have to find your best posture. How do you find it? By being aware. Maybe moving to the left, moving to the right, stretching, slouching. Find what feels the most comfortable. You rely on your own wisdom, generated through mindfulness, not what some teacher tells you, nor what is written in a book by an expert. You feel it. Feel what's the best. Same with your hands. Sometimes I see articles on meditation which tell you to put your hands in this position or that position. And I've had too much experience to know it doesn't really matter how you hold your hands, as long as they are comfortable. Check your shoulders. They can be tight. People have pains in their shoulder blades simply because they never put their posture, never put their back in a good position. So stretch the shoulders, loosen them, be aware, and you soon find how to relax things. If you don't know what's going on, you can't have any influence at all. Once you look, aware, feel, and it's a very simple job to learn how to adjust the position of your shoulders so they're not going to cause you any problems. And then check your head, making sure it's well balanced on top of your head. Not too far forward or back. Not leaning to the left or the right. Feel it. If it needs adjustment, out of kindness, adjust. And lastly, it's a segue. It leads into the next level of body meditation. You feel the sensations around the eyes. There you can find your emotional well-being. If you are tense, afraid, angry, it tightens up around your eyes. You can feel those muscles. And you learn how to relax them or loosen them. Now you've practiced about 10 minutes of mindfulness. By being aware of the body, it's blocked out the thoughts in your mind. Hopefully, if you've been following this, not many thoughts of the past or the future have come up. You're in the moment. But to go deeper, and this is a very beautiful technique to improve your health and even cure illnesses. Have a quick look through your body, inside, to see if there's any place there which needs some attention and some kindness. Any ache, even a small ache, a tension, a tightness, a throb, let alone a pain, anything which is an irritation, zoom in on that feeling. So mindfulness going in to a part of your body which needs some adjustments. As it feels that lack of balance, that ache, that pain, once you have established mindfulness of that feeling, then it's not hard to manipulate that feeling. You soon learn by changing the attitude of the mind what makes it worse, what makes it less painful. What relaxes it? What makes it tense? You experiment until you learn how to take a feeling inside of your body, a pain, and ease it. First of all, just a little bit, till eventually you can ease it totally away. The interface between the mind and the body you're playing with, knowing how the mind can affect the body, knowing by being aware of a tiny part of your body which needs some attention, how you can relax everything in that area, even bring more blood supply there, take away the over response of the immune system, relaxing things, bringing health and vitality to a small area of your body which has been wounded. You feel it. With that feeling, with that mindfulness, you find you have power. Power to intercede to your benefit. And also you discover that what works, what heals an ache or a pain or an irritation inside, is what we call in meditation kindness, letting things be, embracing. You're not only learning how to keep yourself healthy, you're also learning what these very, very important qualities really are by practicing them in your own body to your benefit. So stay with that part of your body which needs some assistance until you learn how to take a pain inside and ease it away. course, it takes time. It takes patience. It takes waiting on this moment. Now you're waiting on that feeling, seeing what it needs, what makes it content and happy. The body is really relaxed. Only then to let it go. And look at your mind, the peaceometer. How active is the mind? Or how still is it? How peaceful or how agitated? Peace and stillness go together. Agitation and thinking go together. How peaceful is your mind? Sometimes I've advised to visualize your mind like a lake. The waves on the surface, that's an agitated mind. Bigger and faster the waves, the from all the thoughts, from our agitation. The calm of that lake, when it's only ripples, it means you're coming to peace, to stillness. If it helps, you can visualize your peaceometer like that. Because once you're mindful, aware of your emotional world, the mind, and how agitated or peaceful it is, then you can intervene. You find what causes you to be agitated. You don't try and stop the thoughts. You understand where they come from. Why? Only mindfulness of that world can give you those answers. Once you have the cause, you have the solution. Let it be. Kindness, opening the door of your heart to this moment, waiting on this moment. You find the mind gets more and more peaceful. The waves get less and less and less. When the mind gets to a certain level of peacefulness, usually your breath appears by itself. If not, you may even invite the breath in. Using the word invite, it's non-aggressive. Just be with your breath. Not controlling it, but as a friend, on equal terms. Like you're holding the hand of one of your best companions. Being with your breath. Being with your breath as it comes into your body. Being there when the in-breath fades to nothing. And being right there again when the breath begins its out journey. Caring enough never to abandon it. Just being with your breath. And keeping the mind inside. Don't let it go outside to noises and other distractions. Just keep it with the breath. See if you can appreciate the delight, the sheer joy of a mind which is just doing something simple like watching the breath, with no problems, nothing to bother you, because you've left the past and the future way behind. You're just here. The only place where you can ever find some peace is here for you, as long as you learn how to stay and wait on this present moment with the breath. I'll now be quiet until I end the meditation sometime in the future. Don't wait for me. Wait on the moment. coming close to the end of the meditation period now. So time to just know how you feel. And just see how far you've come in peace, relaxation, even delighting in the freedom the meditation gives you. Freedom from the past and the future. Freedom from thought. Freedom from time. Gong 3 times to end the meditation. Okay, got some questions from the United States, Italy, and Norway. First of all, from the United States, what do we do if we encounter other beings during meditation? Just tell them to go. Get out of here. First of all, if they're human beings, just keep your eyes closed, just ignore them, and then they'll ignore you. In other words, use the thing I call focusing, keeping your attention on the meditation object. Don't get disturbed by things to the left, the right, above and below. And if it's people who come and go, and when you are in your meditation, you don't even know they're coming and going because you're focusing inside. If they are other beings in meditation, it's very, 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 very rare. That could be any real spiritual beings because the person who meditates usually, they've got like a force field around them. They cannot be penetrated by bad beings. So most times if you perceive other beings, they're usually mind-made. In other words, you actually create them. And so if you create them, you can uncreate them. If you really want to, you can play around with them, like I did once when I was meditating so many years ago and had the vision of a monster right in front of me. Big, bulgy eyes. Like vampire teeth, not just two, the whole set up and down, pointed, dripping blood. Spiky hair, and this was a long time before the punks. It was a proto-punk monster. Spiky hair was a necklace of shrunken skulls. And I like telling this story because I could actually really ham it up. And his tongue was out of me. I love doing that. I don't know why. I'm weird. It goes really well on the camera. And straight away I knew that it was a mind-made object, so I put sunglasses over its eyes. I put a straw hat on its head. I blacked out a couple of its teeth. Long time ago, I put a cigarette in its mouth. And I made it smile as well. Until this monster was so humiliated, it disappeared, never came back again. So that's how to deal with other beings that come in meditation. They're mind created, so you can play around with them if you want to, if you want to have a good time. But they cannot harm you. So that is how you deal with beings who come in meditation. Don't give them any importance. From Italy, I get very peaceful in meditation, but it gradually vanishes through my daily life. How can I bring the positive effects of meditation into the rest of my day? Thank you so much. Obvious answer is see if you can meditate some more. Especially, just don't go through the whole day without a meditation. See if you can actually find at least 5 or 10 minutes to do some meditation. And you have lunch hour. If you don't have a lunch hour, a lunch half an hour. If you don't have a lunch half an hour, you have to eat at your desk. There is something in every office called the rest room. And that's why it's called rest room. To rest. So go in there, get in the cubicle. If you really like, you can actually develop like a cushion which fits onto the toilet seat so you can meditate comfortably. 5 or 10 minutes in the rest room. Make its name mean actually something. And then in that restroom, you can actually make sure that you don't just lose all the peaceful energy. And you can always go to the restroom any time, day or afternoon, morning or afternoon, and your boss will never sack you for going to the restroom. And I often said here, you can always say that you are constipated. That's why you have to spend so long in the restroom. And it's not lying, because the lack of peace is called mental constipation. So that's what you can do. And the positive aspects of meditation actually last. It's in the afternoon you've got to be careful of, because you meditate in the morning, maybe you go to work with lots of nice energy, you're fresh, and at lunchtime you're already burnt out. So try lunchtime meditation. Lastly, from Norway, when I meditate, my neck always feels tired and my head always seems heavy, so I always feel tenser and can't relax. How can I manage the pain? It may be that your head is not in a really good position. I'm not quite sure if you're meditating on a chair. You can get a chair with a sort of a headrest and lean back a bit so your head can rest on there. If you're sitting on a cushion, then check your bottom. Make sure that, you know, your spine, the very bottom of the spine is well supported. It may be a sort of a problem just with the posture. It's obviously a posture problem. So see if you can get your head in the right position. And the other thing is, that it may be just you did have a reason to have a neck pain at first, but now the brain is associating meditation with that same pain. There may not be a physical cause anymore. It may be the psychological cause of association. It happens many times if you had some sort of pain and you're in some sort of posture, the brain somehow mixes those two together and thinks, okay, you're sitting like this, now I must have a pain. And to overcome that, if it is a psychological problem there, just use the programming of mindfulness, which is a technique which I often advise. When you meditate, you sit down and you tell yourself, when I meditate, I will not have a neck pain. When I meditate, I will not have a neck pain. When I meditate, I will not have a neck pain. You just tell yourself that 3 times and then forget it. Because you're paying attention. When you say that, in your own words, slowly, as mindful as you possibly can. Mindfulness, the word for mindfulness in Pali, the Buddhist language, is sati. The same word for memory. Even 2,500 years ago, the Buddha knew that connection. Whatever you do with full awareness, neuroscience says you make a neural connection. You do make that connection, which is how we experience memory. In other words, you are rewiring your brain. And as you rewire it, it now associates meditation not with neck pain. It associates with being free from neck pain. So that response is not there anymore. That's how hypnotism, auto-suggestion, what I call programming mindfulness, actually works. Telling yourself, paying full attention, the brain gets rewired, and it never expects neck pain when you meditate. And you surprise yourself, hey, I meditated, there's no neck pain. You rewired your brain. That could be one solution. If it is something physical, then adjust the posture. even like many people here, they get what I always call the best seats in the house, which is against the pillars. These two gentlemen here, they've been coming here a long time, they know actually the best place so they can lean back. And it helps. So, that's how to deal with some neck pain over there. Because it is so true from Norway. If you feel tense and there's pain there, it's just so hard to get into peaceful meditation. It's as if like the body takes first call on your attention. If it's not relaxed, it's so hard to actually to even focus on your mind and relax the mind. So if you can just get that neck problem sorted out, programming mindfulness, checking your posture, leaning back, getting a massage or something, finding out if there's any real problem there. If that neck pain only happens when you meditate, then the programming mindfulness will probably be the solution. If it always feels heavy, whatever you're doing during the day, there must be some other problem there. Even checking your pillow when you're sleeping. Make sure the pillow's not too high, not too low. There's all sorts of things which can cause that neck pain. So find out physical solutions first, and then other solutions afterwards. So, now, are there any questions from the people here? From the floor? No. For those of you who can stay a little bit longer, announcement to make. There is a young lady they used to stay in Star Wars, is going to boldly go where few women have gone before. Ronnie is going to shave off her long hair to raise funds for the nuns. And Ronnie, stand up. Let's see your hair one last time. Here it is. That's shortly going to go. If you're an old lady, it doesn't really matter very much. But for a young woman, that's a huge sacrifice. It's a big act of renunciation. So please acknowledge her act of giving for a good cause. She's raising funds for the Nuns Monastery. You can give a donation. And it all goes to the Nuns Monastery. This is the one we're starting in UK. So it's a nice thing for you to do. And even if you haven't got any money with you, we do accept IOUs. Get a piece of paper out and put on it, I owe you $1 million, signed. Well, maybe not a million, but, you know, maybe a couple of cents. If you've got a spare 5-cent coin. No, come on. Maybe you get everything for free, so it's nice to be able to help out. For a good cause. If you don't give it, the government gets it anyway, so you might as well give it to a good cause before they take it. So anyway, that's for the head shaving. Happening in half an hour? 5 minutes? 5 minutes it's going to start. 5 o'clock. Okay, 5 o'clock. So you can actually give her your commiserations. So as I say, there is a great Buddhist teaching, as I said last night. It's called the teaching of impermanence, which is here today, gone tomorrow. And if you don't give substantial donations, I'm going to tell that joke again and again and again to get my own back.